Men, we struggle receiving God's mercy. Do we even think we need it? And are we willing to show mercy to others? Hi, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle tough topics men might think about but don't talk about. As we continue our series on the godly man, being merciful is our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off our show on The Godly Man is Merciful. Let's meet our Crossing the Goal team, the Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, the Founder and President of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and our coach, a former All-Pro NFL wide receiver and coach, Danny Abramowitz. And guys, I think Curtis has been given the key to heaven.
I have been. And so have you and all of us.
Thank God. That's the amazing thing.
You know, and what more do you want than the key to heaven? To be able to see that Jesus has actually shown us how to get to heaven. If you want to get to heaven, we'll never get there on our own. We're never going to be good enough. So we need God's mercy. That's what we need more than anything. And Jesus has told us in the Sermon on the Mount how to obtain God's mercy. He said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." If we are merciful, we'll be shown mercy. What a great, it's the key of heaven.
Speaking of mercy, the cross is the ultimate sign of mercy. And if you remember, especially as we reflect during Lent now, that Jesus from the cross, what he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." We need to realize that in our life and be able to forgive others. No matter who has hurt us, no matter how many times they've hurt us, we need to forgive.
This might be the most important show in our series here, the Godly Man series, because when you talk about mercy, you talk about the heart of Christianity. And Christianity is about not what I'm supposed to do for God, but what God has done for me. The saints, the Apostle Paul says, "The goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior has appeared, and he's given us eternal life." That's where Christianity starts, with what God has done for us, showing us his mercy,
even
his love.
All of us dummies. Look, without his mercy, we would be in trouble.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's actually the case. I mean, sometimes we think that Christianity is about some kind of moralism, which says, well, if you can be good enough, but actually to qualify, you have to admit you're a sinner. I don't belong, but I've been invited.
Exactly. So for us to be merciful men, we need a game plan, and we have one for you. Curtis and Peter are up next with our game plan here on Crossing the Goal.
The godly man is merciful. So our topic today is mercy, and we've reached the game plan. We want to break open what exactly are we talking about. And really, to understand mercy, we're going to need to acquire a biblical worldview. And to understand that, we need to really see that from the biblical perspective, we are engaged in a war, an intractable war, a war in which people die and they die forever. Mm-hmm. And people live and they live forever. Everything is at stake. Yeah. And mercy is necessary if we're going to live. Yeah. How do we break this open?
It's a good question. We can't understand the depth and the meaning of mercy without getting God's perspective on the human condition. Here, Paul, chapter 2, verse 1 and following, he says, "And you he made alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience."
Okay, time out. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to go back because I'm not sure we believe this. Yeah. You've already said that we're dead in sins.
Yeah.
And my experience is, and we talk to people out there, that we actually think that we got people out who are wounded by sin, who are asleep in sin. But this says we're dead in sin. Are we supposed to believe that?
Yeah. Death comes through sin. All have sinned, therefore all die, St. Paul says. He says, you literally lived without hope in the world because death was it. It was final. Death, he says, you were a slave to death, and sin, which produces death, reigns in you, and it reigns so much it reigns through death. The death dominates your life because you cannot stop yourself from what? We can't pass through death. Right. Death gets all of us in the end. So Paul says, you're without hope in the world. So he says, you're dead in your sins. When you were dead through your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, you followed the course of this world. There's three enemies that the scripture talks about: the biblical worldview, the world, the flesh, and the devil. They connive together and they work together to produce death, eternal death. Jesus came to solve that problem, the sin problem, the death problem, and he dealt with our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, which Paul talks about right here. So let's look at it. He says, in which you once walked, following the course of this world. What's the world in the biblical sense?
The world are the powers and forces that are in opposition to God, those that took control at the fall.
Okay. And then you followed the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Who's that?
The devil, the one who caused the fall.
We have a real enemy, a mortal enemy who wants us all dead.
No, and okay, time out again. I'm going to sit back and say biblical worldview. Are we really supposed to believe there's a devil?
Yeah, I guess we are. Absolutely,
okay.
We are. It's right there. It's the teaching of Scripture. It's the teaching of the church. And it's something that's being denied. All kinds of things the modern world won't accept. The existence of the devil, the reality of hell, which is all a part of the biblical worldview. Without understanding these things, mercy, you just don't get it. You don't understand the greatness and the magnitude of God's mercy.
I mean, it's almost like you go to the doctor, you're thinking, hey doctor, I've got this headache and I've been trying aspirin and I'd like to see if I can get some extra strength stuff. And he takes a look at you and says, I'm gonna schedule for surgery this afternoon. All of a sudden you realize you got something much more serious than you thought.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're looking at right here. The biblical perspective is that God views us as having a much more serious problem than the modern world would like to believe us. And many, many Catholics have allowed themselves to inch their way towards the modern perspective rather than the biblical perspective.
Right. And we live in this, well, let's go on before we, let's finish, let's go to the flesh here. It says, and among these, you all once walked, we all lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind. And so we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So now the flesh, we have the world, and the flesh is that drive within me that towards self-exaltation, my will be done, not your will be done. I want to live for myself. I want to define my own reality. I want to define my own truth. I will create my own meaning in life, which is all over the place in our culture. That's the flesh.
And ever since the fall, those passions are running out of control. They're meant to serve our end, but what's happened is they've kind of taken control. So the flesh is at war with the spirit.
And so Paul says, you were by nature children of wrath.
That's serious.
That's the human condition. It really is the human condition. What does that mean? It means I have set myself against God because I've been enslaved to sin. Now, we don't have a whole lot of time, so let's jump down to the heart of the matter. Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Or a little bit earlier, verse 4 is even better. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him.
For by grace we've been saved. And grace, what is that? The unmerited, unmeritable gift of God.
Yeah.
There is nothing we can do to help ourselves.
Yeah.
And God steps in and helps us and offers us the one thing we need more than anything, another shot at life.
Yeah, here we are. We're dead through our trespasses and sins. Jesus came to deal with the sin problem that produced death. How did he do that? He died on the cross, shed his blood to cleanse us so that what? So he could give us life that would never die. He has the power to give us an indestructible life, his life, which is life beyond death, which is life in glory, restoring us fully to God and beyond what our wildest imagining Jesus produced in us.
This is the good news. And sometimes we sit back and say, well, I don't know if we should share our religion with people. We don't want to impose our views. We're never supposed to impose. But my goodness, why would we not want to propose this truth to anybody and everybody we ever meet?
Yeah.
This is the good news. And it's why we need to be men of mercy. Brian?
All right, thanks, Curtis and Peter.
Mercy, Coach. It's already time for the Red Zone.
I hope they have mercy on us.
I doubt it.
Knowing these guys, they don't know what the idea of mercy is. They're talking about it. They won't show us mercy.
Yeah, we'll work it out. The Red Zone's next here on Crossing the Goal. First, a quick timeout. The godly man is merciful. Our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. We're in the red zone, and our coach, Danny Abramowitz, came up with the idea of crossing the goal. Coach, what do you mean by crossing the goal? Where did that come from, and how does that relate to mercy?
Well, first of all, we got to say, what is the goal?
Yeah.
The goal is eternal salvation. And mercy, without mercy, God's mercy, we don't have a chance.
We're not going to cross it.
And I started thinking about in my life how many times the Lord has shown mercy to me in my life. And as you guys so eloquently put it up there, many times we turn our back on Him, which I did many times in my life. But He was always there with compassion and love and mercy to come back, Danny, come back. I think because of that, it showed me that I had to be an example, that I had to show mercy, love, and compassion to people that came into my life, that maybe even the ones that hurt me dearly. Yeah. Because without that, there's no way that I could obtain salvation on my own. Plus, I think by our example of mercy, that we show it to someone else, just like Jesus showed me mercy on me, that I showed it on somebody else, and hopefully someone else after that shows it on someone else.
You know, we're at the heart of it right now, and we've actually loaded a bunch of things, a merciful and loyal, a lot of things that we can do as men, and yet I think there are probably a lot of guys out there that are watching who are saying, I've tried and I'm not very good at this. And I don't know if I'm ever going to be good enough.
Yeah.
And I think we need to step back right now and say, actually, you're right. None of us are ever going to be good enough. A friend of mine in college gave me some of the best advice I've ever received. Roy turned to me and said, Curtis, you're never going to be good enough to please the Lord and begin to follow Him. What you need to do is give your life to the Lord and let Him begin to restore you and make you and bring you and make you whole. And Christianity is essentially a relationship. And then all of the things, all the behaviors flow from a loyalty to that relationship. Yeah. And that's what we need to be, to be united and brought back into that relationship with
Christ. You hear people say, I'm not worthy. You're right.
Yeah. You're not worthy. None of us are.
Or people say, well, why do Christians look lack happiness, joy, and they look grumpy and all the rest of this a lot of times, or they look bored with the faith? It's really because, I think, right here in this position, because we get it backwards. We say, well, I've got to labor, I got to get God's attention, and if I do enough good stuff, I might get God's attention. If the good I do in my life outweighs the bad, then I might be able to get to heaven, or God might look at me, or He might consider me. That's the approach people take. And then, of course, we all know it doesn't. We end up doing a lot, and we're disappointed in ourselves. We're discouraged because of our sin. We missed a point. I mean, the saints didn't work there. The saints were captivated and captured by the realization that I was dead in my sins, I had no hope, and God came to me. God came to me. Absolutely. God came to me, and He gave me His life.
Right.
And now I have a future. And from that faith realization, then love, faith expressed itself in love, and they gave themselves away. We put the cart before the horse, and we try to run on our own energy and our own juice, and we run out of gas.
But I think a lot of people, too, don't know how to accept God's mercy.
Yep.
Yeah,
you know, that's why they're so down in the dumps. I know many of us go to confession, and they give us absolution, and our sins are forgiven. They're whiter than snow. They're gone.
Wow.
We don't accept it. We get the guilt. We get the guilt back on us. We become Jesus Christ in our own life, making the decisions. Wait a minute. He forgave our sins. No matter what, they're forgiven. I don't care what you did.
Yeah.
If you confess them.
Yeah.
But we don't do that. We don't accept His mercy in our life.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
We're all literally enslaved by sin. Christ came into that condition out of mercy. He had compassion on us. We didn't compel Him to come because we're so good and that He saw our condition, and out of compassion and mercy, He came to us and He changed it. We just need to receive it. We just need to say, yes, Lord, thank You, and let that be the starting point and really receive it into our heart.
And if we were better receivers, we would be better givers. Oh. And the idea that, you know, we give mercy, not based on somebody's actions, but on their dignity as human persons.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That's a great point. You know, and the challenge for us, I think, is we're enslaved to sin and enslaved to the devil when we're in the state of sin, and he holds us captive, and then God liberates us, and it's almost like the devil's now been put in prison. He's no longer captive, but from the prison cell, he still barks at us, and we react, and he tries to make us feel as though we're still the poor, same slob we were before we went to confession, and if we're not careful, we begin to act like it again, and he gets his way with us. But if we won't listen to his accusations, he's the accuser. If we would refuse to listen to him and listen to Christ and his statement about us, we are forgiven. We're beloved sons of a gracious Father. We just have to choose to believe what God says about us more than what the devil says about us.
And do we really reflect on the passion and death of our Lord and meditate on it and say that He did this for us, that it's not some passion play He did it.
Yeah.
He did it because He has mercy on us. Yeah. This is what I did for you, Danny.
Yeah.
This is what I did for you. No matter what you did in your life, I love you. Come back. Don't give up. Turn your life over to me. This is how much I love you.
Yeah.
I don't think we meditate on that. That's just a cross. We just make the sign of the cross. Wait a minute. What are you making the sign of the cross for? God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Yeah.
When we do that, you mean He's going to turn His back on us? No way.
But there are people out there right now who are in a state of despair saying, "I don't." You're talking, that's great, but you don't understand what I've done. I have really done some terrible, terrible things. And I have out-sinned God's mercy. And again, as you said, look at the cross. This is a God who, while hanging from the cross that He'd been nailed to, looked at the people who nailed Him to it and turned to His Father and said, "Forgive them." You haven't done that. You haven't nailed Jesus to the cross physically. If He can forgive them for that, He can forgive you for anything.
Yeah.
And there is no limit to God's mercy and what He can forgive us of. And we have to rejoice in this truth.
Yeah. Was it Corrie Ten Boom who said, "There's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." You know, no pit we can dig ourselves in that God is not deeper.
I've tried.
We've all tried, haven't we?
I've tried to dig that hole pretty deep.
Yeah.
But you're right.
And there's no way that we can lose God's love. He is love.
Yeah.
He loves us so much. No matter what, I think people are losing hope out here.
Yeah.
They're giving up. What is John 16:33? I have overcome the world. Do you believe
that, though? He passed from death to life. He overcame the world. The world was literally putting us in the ground before it was all done. I mean, all we had was death. Being, you know, food for worms was the destiny of the human race till Jesus came. Death was the biggest thing going until the Lord came. And Paul says He swallowed up death in victory. He says, "Death, where is your sting? You can't hold these people down anymore." When we go into the ground and die, brothers, when we're taken away from our loved ones and our being is just dying, our bodies are corrupting, we go into that dark night. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is going to be there. And He's going to call our name, and He's going to reach out, and He's not going to let death destroy us. He's not going to let the devil have the final word or sin. He's going to reach down. He's going to say, "Come, my son, and inherit the kingdom. Come and receive all that is mine. I'm giving to you." Boom. That's it.
What do you think? We don't have much time left in this, but what do you guys think prevents people from accepting God's mercy?
Pride first.
Pride, self-reliance. I got to save myself, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think another one is we don't know how to ask for it. And that's why I think it's important that right now
we're worthy either.
That we pray with you and that we, along with you, because we're still in need of mercy today, we call upon the Lord's mercy.
Let's pray.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father God, we thank You that You have sent Your only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus chose to die for us, to offer us His life in exchange for ours. And so, Lord, we repent. We acknowledge that we have failed You in so many ways, in so many times. We're not worthy to be called Your sons or daughters. And yet, Lord, we come to You and we ask that You would forgive us of our sins, that You would come into our lives as the Lord of our very lives, that we would order all of our lives, all of our intentions, all of our loves to what You would desire, that rather than us being in control, You would take control of our lives. You would be the Lord of every aspect of our life, and that, Lord, accepting Your mercy, we choose to follow You now. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Lord Jesus, I just have a sense, Lord, that so many people out here are just overwhelmed with sin, overwhelmed with guilt in their life. Lord, what they need is love. Lord, right now, send Your Spirit upon them in a special way, overwhelmingly loving them, just pouring into their hearts how much Your mercy and how much You love every bit about them, that You are their Lord and Savior.
Yes, Lord. Friends, just reach out and receive the gift today. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Jesus, we are sinners. You are our Savior. Jesus, we trust in You. Lord, have mercy. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, we are moving into the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal. We appreciate you being with us. We're going to dig into the email bag, and we'll talk about the last word on mercy when we come back. We're wrapping up our series on the godly man with The Godly Man is Merciful. Let's go to our email bag. We got an email from Mike Blake in Missouri City, Texas. Mike and the guys down there at St. Angela Merici Parish put together a Crossing the Goal Virtues Workshop using our Crossing the Goal playbook. About 60 guys out of a parish of about 500.
Wow.
Awesome turnout.
That a boy, Mike. We thank you very much and all your boys down in Texas. Cross the Goal is many things. First of all, it's a TV show. Then we have a website. We also take the show on the road, Crossing the Goal on the road. We also try to do small groups like you're doing in the various parishes where we have the DVD and our playbook. We also have what we call spiritual fitness training camps or retreats that we will do that. We'll come into your parish and get them started. And I think you guys can maybe add some stuff. You've been
One place to start, too, we love to do are the Crossing the Goal conferences. They've kind of become a launching point. And if you're touched by the program, you want to see us come to your area, to your parish, to your diocese, you can just come to our website at crossingthegoal.com. We'd love to come. It's a half-day conference, and it can help launch a lot in your parish, move from conference to small groups to growing deeper in the Spirit.
The vision is, guys, that we could be encouragers to you, that we could be there to kind of set the goal to be able to come out and visit with you either via television or face-to-face, and we're watching God raise up men all over the country,
Absolutely.
All over the world, who want to figure out how to lead, and we're trying to put people in touch with other people who have had success, who have been able to watch God work amongst men and raise them into leadership to be the type of men they want them to be. This is an exciting event that's turning into a movement as we watch what God is doing in men's lives.
And if you've been touched out there by the show, encourage others to start watching the show and make this ministry spread.
Yeah, remember the goal is eternal life, and to get there, we need God's mercy. So let's get the last word on The Godly Man is Merciful, beginning with Peter.
All I can think about is what a good friend of mine often says. He says, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I love that.
Guys, we've had an opportunity to share what I think is something we're deep and passionate about, God's mercy. And this show is in particular is a great one for me personally. But I want to invite you maybe to close the deal here. And that is, we had a chance to pray with you. And I want to invite you to find a local Catholic church and contact the priest, whether you're Catholic or not. And let them know, you know what, I experienced a prayer of God's mercy, and I'd like some help in getting started or getting started again.
Man, what I like you to do is to reflect on mercy. And we talked about what is the sign of mercy? The cross. I want you to take this week and kneel before the cross or sit before the cross and just meditate on it. Think about it. What does that mean to you in your life?
And I want to express personal gratitude for getting mercy rather than justice. Thank you, Lord. All right.
Mercy triumphs. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck. I'm Brian Patrick. Be sure to continue to tune in each week here on EWTN for Crossing the Goal. We're wrapping up our show on The Godless Man.
That's
a good blooper, baby.
That's in there.
There we go.
I went 12 shows without doing that.
Yeah.
The Godless Man. Wow.